Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. I mean, we're just starting to really scratch the surface of all the games that are going to go down on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's just an endless buffet of action.
It really is, and no, I just cannot, I can't get away from it. I'm not going to. We have a lot more college football to do and a lot more games to talk about this weekend. All right, some of the early games on Saturday, early kicks of significance. Michigan, of course, will not have Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines. Who cares? They're laying 36 and a hook against the Pirates of East Carolina at the Big House, 51.5 the total there. Virginia and Tennessee, they're going to get together, Scotty, at Nissan Stadium in Nashville, of course, home of the Titans. Four touchdowns for the Vols they're laying there. Iowa has Utah State coming to Kinnick, 23.5, 43 the total. Fresno State visits Purdue in an interesting game in West Lafayette, where I kind of like the dog there, Scotty, a little Fresno State on the road. And get the band out. A new season of Indiana football kicks off in Bloomington with Ohio State coming in to face Tom Allen and the boys. That is a heavy number. 30.5 the Hoosiers are going to be getting there.
Yeah, I'm not laying 30 and a hook with some new quarterback at Ohio State that's never played a game for the Buckeyes. It's not happening. And I'll tell you another thing. I think Michigan wins easily, but I think East Carolina covers the fat number. They're going to show up to play. They're going to be in that game. I think middle of the second quarter, Michigan starts unleashing whatever they have in terms of dominance in this game. And by the time it's over, I don't think they're pushing 40 points over East Carolina. I say to Pirates, show up, give them a game. Michigan wins. McCarthy has a good game, does his thing, but this isn't going to be UCF 56-6. I don't see it. They don't have Harbaugh there. I think they're just going to manage the game and win the game. I think Tennessee rolls. I think Utah State will cover against Iowa. I think Iowa's one of the most inept offenses I've ever seen in my life. If they haven't fixed what they had going on last year in Iowa City, I don't see why the Aggies can't give them a game. I like Purdue at Ross Aid in West Lafayette to beat Fresno. I think Fresno's a good team in the Mountain West. I don't think they're a good team on the road in Indiana to open the season against bigger, better athletes at Purdue and in the Big Ten. That's just called a risk there.
I mean, Iowa laying 23.5. Will they score?
No.
23 points in that game. I think that that's really what you got to look at. Can they even if they won, will they score 23 points? So that's why, for me, I'm with you on
that
Utah State.
That smells like 20-17 written all over it.
It does. I mean, even 20-10. You know, I don't know if they could score 24 points in that game in order to cover that number if they shut them out.
They didn't score 24 points the entire season.
Pretty much. Next. Boise into Washington. They're going to be at Husky Stadium to take on Michael Penix and the crew. Two touchdowns they're laying there. Texas revs up their season against Rice, 35 and a hook. Buffalo goes to Wisconsin, where the Luke Fickell era begins, 27 and a half. USC already has a game under their belt. They couldn't cover a fat number last week. Now they'll try an even bigger number, 38 and a half against Nevada. And I love this UTSA-Houston game. I don't know why, guys. One of my favorite games tomorrow night. They played a classic last year, double overtime game. Now UTSA goes there. I kind of like Houston and Dana Holgorsen tomorrow night.
They're at home, right? Like, this isn't in Charlotte?
Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. No, that game is in Houston.
When I saw North Carolina, South Carolina stacked up on our board, I thought they were playing at home. So they're playing in Charlotte. So now I'm more convinced than ever. I'm with you on Houston. No, I got to be honest. I'm not laying 38.5 with USC. I didn't lay it last week. I told you they wouldn't cover the number against San Jose State. I got to be honest with you. I think Buffalo covers the number against Wisconsin and Madison. I think Wisconsin's a hot mess, too. The fact that they're ranked is laughable to me. With what I just watched for the last 3 years there, I'm not buying it. Texas rolls. The one that I'm on and I'm going to bet on, and I'll probably hopefully not regret it, but I think Penix lights up Boise State at Husky Stadium. I think Washington puts 50 on Boise on Saturday up in Seattle. This guy is going to throw for 500 yards in this football game. Listen, this guy came back for one reason, to win a national championship. They think they're going to a playoff. He also wants to win the Heisman, and there's only one way to steal it from Caleb Williams, and it's to go out every week and throw for 500 yards. And believe me, you, last year he was throwing for 475 yards every week. He going fives this year.
And that Texas game, I'm kind of looking at it the same way as we looked at UCF last night. Now, UCF ended up covering that 35.5 either way, but I like the over in the Texas game in the 58.5 area, because I think they can get that by themselves. Maybe not cover that huge 38, but I think they can get in the high 50s on their own against Rice.
I could agree more. And I think Ewers needs to shake this guy Manning in his rearview mirror and have a big game.
Yes, that too as well. All right, we'll come back. I'm not done. I got a few more night games on Saturday. I got a triple header on Sunday. I got a game on Monday night I got to get your take on. So we'll come back and we will finish all the college football from this weekend.
Better than stacked.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We keep rolling with the college football. I did want to say, you know, I mentioned it to you. The U.S. Open, like, sans the tennis. The tennis is one thing. It is what it is. A lot of people, you've never heard of these players, or you don't know any of the Americans. You don't know any of the Euros. You don't know any of the women. You don't know anything. I don't care about the tennis. We all know what's going to happen. Joker and Alcaraz, that'll be that. But I got to tell you, the party at that place is really, it's almost second to none. The crowd is rowdy. It's lit. It's vulgar. It's crazy. The night session is even more insane. And the players have been crying all week about everybody smoking blizz. Everybody's getting baked at that thing at the Ash Center. I mean, they're blowing vapes, bowls, doobies. Everybody's drinking. The crowd is lit. The players they have drip. It's all about fashion and how you look. And it's rowdy. All those other ones, honestly, that Aussie Open, a waste of time. Wimbledon, everyone wears white. How stuffy is that? Tea and crumpets, my ass. And no one cares about red clay in this country. The only tennis tournament that matters in the world, they should play one a year. It's right here in New York. It's badass.
I do not disagree. It's the only one that, and I've never been.
I've been.
I'd like to go once and just spend the day there and kind of just walk. I don't even need to see the big matches. I don't need the you know, the Arthur Ashe Court at night. I could just walk around in the afternoon and get drunk and watch all like the opening rounds, like the little courts that they have all around there. That'd be perfectly fine with
you
me.
You can drink your face off at that place. I mean, it is. I remember going. Mafia said my behavior was appalling. I showed up at the studio drunk. I went to the day session, Heineken's all day, and then I went once at night. And I just remember they rolled me down my driveway. I couldn't even. I was like, I was there till 2 in the morning, hammered. Are we on the air? Check 1, 2.
Yes. Yes. All right. Let's finish the college football. So Alabama will open their season tomorrow night at home against Middle Tennessee State. Jalen Milroe will be the starting quarterback. I'm sure you'll see some of the other guys as well. But he will be the starter to go. And they are laying, I think, 38.5 was the last number I saw there, Scotty, up on the big board. Might be 39.5 now, too, in some spots as well. South Alabama and Tulane. I kind of like South Alabama tomorrow. Everybody high on Tulane off of that year last year. I think South Alabama is a good team out of the Sun Belt. I also like North Texas at home against Cal. Getting to 6.5. We've got Texas Tech in Wyoming, and UCLA opens their year late night. The bailout blowout 10:30 East kick against Coastal Carolina, Scotty, out at the Rose Bowl.
All right, let me see those games again. So I'm on Tulane. They have something brewing down there on Bourbon Street. I love that. You know, I'm not going anywhere near that crappy Cal game. I like the over in the Bama game. I think Texas Tech and Wyoming go over. I like Texas Tech in that game too, by the way. And then I like UCLA to beat Coastal Carolina.
There you go. Now, there are like several hundred other games on Saturday. There's a lot of, obviously, FBS, FCS games. I mean, we gave you just some of the big ones. There are several hundred other games if you'd like to dabble on Saturday in college football. But we also have Sunday and Monday this weekend with NFL. There is a triple header on Sunday, the late game, and probably the best game of the entire college slate this weekend is in Orlando, there at that Camping World Stadium, where LSU and Florida State will get together. They played a great game last year in New Orleans at the Dome. Florida State pulled it out. Brian Kelly excited to get his season going against FSU.
It's just a great challenge for our football team, and they've been looking forward to this this challenge. It's what motivates you in the off season. All the things that you do to prepare for a great game like this all comes to fruition on Sunday. Look, I could talk for quite a long time about, you know, our football team and the development of our team.
Christ, this is boring.
You know, I think you look at some of the things that are really important, and that is
what is next.
Where we've improved from last year is just overall, we're a smarter football team. We understand
smarter
the systems. We understand the process.
Yeah.
We understand the things necessary to become more consistent.
This is like
And everything that we do to be a championship.
He needs to drink
team.
Some of the soda there. He's got a soda in front of him. Take a sip.
That
Come on,
soda
coach.
Is bad for you unless there's Bacardi in it and a lime. Let's calm down.
Maybe he has that.
First of all, the game you said is at some camping place. I'm from New York City. I don't go camping, okay? We're city boys. We don't camp.
Yes.
If you camp and go catch salmon in the river with a bear, then have at it. I'm over here betting on LSU at the window, okay? And honestly, I've already bet it because I don't want it to move on me. I already bet LSU. You already know I want them to win it all, the whole kit and caboodle. Forget about this game. I want them to win the national championship. So let's see if Kelly and Jaden Daniels can get revenge on Florida State. It was a great game last year. Great comeback by LSU. They lost. Let's see them get even. It's going to be, in my opinion, Mike, like Utah and Florida. It's time to return serve for LSU on Sunday.
I agree. -2.5 for the Tigers. 56.5 is the total. I think LSU will get it done as well down there in Orlando. Also on Sunday. So you get an early kick in Piscataway between Northwestern and Rutgers, Scotty, with Rutgers laying
what
the 6.5, the middle game. Oregon State visits San Jose State. They're laying a big number on the road, total of 55 there. And then Monday night, there is your standalone game. Clemson visits Duke. 12.5 is the number for Clemson on the road, 55.5 the total.
Well, first of all, put that game back up there. I think Oregon State, San Jose State's going to actually be a good game. And believe it or not, I might be inclined to stay under that 55 in that game. And that San Jose State, the Spartans, give Oregon State a game. Oregon State wins. San Jose State may cover. They covered against USC, remember. I'm on Rutgers because, well, first of all, I don't care at all about Rutgers and Northwestern. But I'm going to bet Rutgers based on the fact that Northwestern is in federal prison. I mean, the entire team gone, hazing, coaches fired. They got hack coaches coaching them. I think they're going to have their worst year in their history. Then again, they've had all kinds of one-win seasons in Evanston in the past. They're an atrocity this year. Rutgers and Shiano will beat them. And Rutgers sucks, too, let's not forget. And I say Clemson beats Duke. The question is it going to be a cover with the 12.5? Duke has been fantastic. I'm more inclined to stay under 55.5 because Clemson plays defense. So does Duke. I think it's going to be a decent game. I'd be more into the under than taking that 12.5 number on either side. If I had to, I'd take Clemson.
I'm with you. I like the under. Also lean to Clemson with the 12.5, and I just can't see a spirited effort from Northwestern. Rutgers ain't that great either, but Shiano's good at home against bad teams. He wins these games when he's at Rutgers. You know, he loses to the good teams. He wins the games like this when he has kind of a beat-up team coming into his place.
Listen,
so I think
enough.
They'll take care of business.
Fair enough. I think Northwestern does not have a football team. And secondly, I think Rutgers, let me just say it. Shiano, the second coming of Shiano at Rutgers has been a disaster.
Well,
he has done nothing at Rutgers. They don't win anything. They suck. Let's get real here. He has been awful. When they rehired him, it's been a disaster.
And they never will when they're in that conference. They're never going to be at the level of those other teams in the Big Ten.
They should be playing
gonna turn
SMU
them around
in,
that.
In the Big
yes,
12.
Yes, get them in that conference.
Luck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell Coast to Coast, the ACC is expanding. The presidents and chancellors met today and voted to add three new schools, Stanford, Cal, and SMU, to the conference. It'll bring the league to 18 teams, 17 of which will play football full-time. The additions will be in all sports and will begin in the 24-25 school year. The ACC needed 12 of 15 votes to make it work. Heading into the meeting, it was uncertain whether or not they had the votes. In a poll a few weeks ago, four schools, Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina, and NC State, they dissented. One of them needed to flip if it were to pass, and all eyes were on NC State's chancellor. The reason they were focusing on Randy Woodson and NC State was because North Carolina's Board of Trustees issued a statement. They objected to the additions to the conference last night. So the ACC joins all the others. Starting next year, the Big Ten is going to have 18 teams, and the Big 12 and SEC will have 16 teams. The Pac-12 has two teams left, basically Washington State and Oregon State. What a disaster. Many believe that Cal, Stanford, and SMU come at a discount. SMU is coming in for 7 years with no broadcast media revenue. Cal and Stanford, 30% share of ACC payouts. That's what they're going to get. The move saves Stanford and Cal after the Pac-12 crumbled. Stanford's athletic department, everybody believes, is money. That they have a great athletic department, and both Stanford and Cal will get increased travel costs, which is going to impact Cal's athletic department. They're already hundreds of millions of dollars in debt. The conference will make millions more annually if they succeed on the field, like if the schools have good seasons. With the ACC TV deal running through 2036, the last few weeks there's been a lot of uncertainty what'll happen in the upcoming years. The ACC thought that Cal and Stanford were the last schools that had value that were out there that could be added to a conference to make it stronger, if you will. Did you see your boy Acuna last night? What a game he had at Dodger Stadium, but that was nothing compared to the day that he had. He married his longtime girlfriend and now wife in L.A. in the morning and then played in the game at night. And in that game, he hit a grand slam, and the Braves won 8-7. He's the first player ever to combine 30 home runs and 60 stolen bases in a season. He's got a wife now, two sons, a two-year-old, and an 11-month-old. He talked about, we're a family. Since we've known each other, we've wanted to be together. We have two kids. Family is meant to be together. That comes before anything else. I'm really happy that's going to happen now. Her visa was going to run out, and they were going to force her to go back to Venezuela, but not now. They're married. She's not going anywhere. It was a fast wedding. They did it at this place, Whispering Oaks in Agora Hills, Cali. They banged it out early in the day, and then he was playing in the game at night. He said, it means a lot to me. The kids were born here, but the mom needs to come and go. I don't like that. It's really a hassle. If we go to the playoffs, if we go to the World Series, and they're not with me, that's tough. I want my family to be here with me. He jacked a homer off Lance Lynn in the second inning, the Grand Slam. It was the 150th homer of his career. He's the second player in history to record 150 homers and 150 steals at the age of 25 or younger. The other player to do it was Mike Trout. We all know Trout's story now. He never plays. Bonds did it in 90. Eric Davis did it in 87. They reached 30 homers and 50 steals, but until Acuna, nobody had ever combined to go 30 and 60. And he did it on the final day of August. There's still a month left in the season. And he did it against the Dodgers and Betts and Freeman, guys that are challenging him for the MVP award. I guess he nailed that down last night. Although Betts homered twice, one of which sailed past Acuna's reach in right field. Betts 455 in the month. 455, 516, 839 is slash line. The first player since Joe DiMaggio in 39 to accumulate 50 hits and 10 homers in August. Freeman, his slash line, 374, 434, 617 in August. Acuna was 352, 432, 574. He was surging as well. It's going to be a great race down the stretch, even though it seems like Acuna is the man right now. September starts with Betts leading the NL with 7.8 Fangraphs wins above replacement. Freeman's at 6.9. Acuna, 6.7. Well, Utah's star quarterback Cam Rising didn't play last night at Rice-Eccles. It didn't matter, though. Utah won anyway, 24-11 over the Gators of Florida. The Utes used a two-quarterback system to help them get the win. It was a rematch of last September's game in which the Gators won by 3 at the Swamp. Kyle Whittingham, the coach, said, we want Cam back as soon as we can get him back. He's been given more latitude in the last 48 hours or so he's going to be able to practice full on next week. He stopped short of saying whether he'd be available to play. In his place, Whittingham and OC Ludwig developed a two-quarterback system with Bryson Barnes starting the game and the redshirt freshman Nate Johnson featured in packages. Whittingham said they're so different that you essentially have to have two plans when you're facing them. It adds another dimension. The Utes ran only 53 plays on offense last night. Both quarterbacks came in the game. Barnes did it on the first play of the first drive. The first play of the game. He dropped back, launched a bomb. Money Parks caught it in stride. A 70-yard touchdown. Barnes said, he's a former walk-on. That's the stuff you talk about when you're a little kid. We knew what we were going to run with our opener. We had an idea of what kind of tendencies they do when they come out. The place was rocking immediately. Barnes went on to go 12 of 18 for 159 yards and a touchdown. He added a score on the ground as well, running around the right side into the corner of the end zone late. Johnson was solid when he got his chances getting out of the pocket. In the first drive of the second quarter, Whittingham put in Johnson, and it didn't take him long to show what he's made of. On a keeper, he danced his way through the Gator D and got around a Florida defender on his way to a 27-yard touchdown. He finished the game as the Utes' leading rusher with 45 yards on six carries with the TD. Whittingham said of Johnson, he's electric. Struggled a little bit with ball security a couple times, but he's got a future. You can see he makes guys miss, and he looks like he's the fastest guy on the field every time he's out there. Barnes and Johnson both said they were comfortable playing together. Johnson said Rising's been helping both of them. He's been telling us everything. With him being down, he's like coaching both of us. I mean, it's really a good thing. Barnes said, me and Nate having the opportunities to get reps while also having a vet sitting in the back helping us. It's not very often you get those types of opportunities with the guy who's been there and done it. Rising might be at practice this week. Could play as soon as Saturday's tough road game at Waco against Baylor. But if he can't go, they know they got options and that Barnes and Johnson can get the job done. It won't be easy going to face the Bears on the road, though. So you know the deal, right? Wake Forest beat Elon in Winston-Salem 37-17. Griffiths threw for 329 and three TDs for the Deeks. Central Florida pounded Kent State 56-6. They got off to a fast start. Plumlee, three touchdowns for UCF, but he got picked off twice. Georgia State beat Rhode Island 42-35. How about the Kid Hill for Rhode Island? Four touchdowns and 408 yards. It was a pretty good game. Western Michigan beat St. Francis of PA 35-17 in Kalamazoo. NC State beat UConn in Stores. They didn't cover, but the Wolfpack won with that tough D. They won by 10. Armstrong threw for 155 yards for NC State. A great game in Minneapolis. Minnesota rallies late. They scored late and then a walk-off field goal, 13-10, to spoil Matt Rhule's debut as the Husker coach. The Huskers quarterback Sims rushed for 91 yards. He looked good. Missouri 35-10 over South Dakota. Tulsa, an easy win at home, 42-7 over Pine Bluff. UAB, Trent Dilfer, his first game, he wins 35-6 over North Carolina A&T. And Arizona State survived Southern Utah's upset bid in Tempe. Sun Devils, the Cheaters, win 24-21. Tons of games again tonight. I can't wait. It's Pharrell Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always good to hook up with Matt Mercell, the Orlando Sentinel, our national contributor on college football on Coast to Coast. Matt, good to see you. You got all the good gigs. You went to see UCF put a beating on Kent State last night. I thought Plumlee went off in that game. I'd like to hear your thoughts on their entrance into the Big 12 with a splash, and then we'll talk about you going on Sunday to see the best game of the weekend, LSU and Florida State.
Yeah, you know, I think obviously UCF is excited about getting into the Big 12, and they want to start things off on the right way. And they did that last night, you know, downing Kent State, you know, 56-6. You know, John Rhys Plumlee looked good, had a couple turnovers, you know, a couple interceptions that were kind of, you know, not costly, but that were not good-looking picks for him. But the offense was outstanding, you know, over 724 yards. The defense held Kent State to 240 yards. This is exactly what Gus Malzahn wanted from his team to start things off. You got to beat teams like this. You got to do it the way you did. They've got a big game this weekend where they go to Boise State. I think that's going to be a big challenge for them, probably their biggest non-conference opponent. And then 2 weeks later, they go to Kansas State, and that's going to be the kickoff to the Big 12 season and something they're really looking forward to.
So you and I have talked about this before of the teams that are coming in, the four that are coming in. Do you think that that Central Florida is in the best footing going into the Big 12?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you look at their roster. The roster's got lots of experience up and down. You know, they've got, you know, a coaching staff that's been there. Gus Malzahn coached at, you know, in the SEC. He knows exactly what's going on. This team is kind of ripe right now to have a successful season its first year in the Big 12. I mean, nothing against BYU, Houston, or Cincinnati, but, you know, when you have the experience coming back, you've got a second-year quarterback who's been around for a while. You've got a depth of the offensive and defensive lines. I mean, everything kind of works well for them. Now, you know, again, they were only picked to finish, I think it was eighth in the preseason Big 12 bowl. But I think they could surprise some teams. Now, it's going to be difficult. I mean, they go on the road to Kansas State in Kansas, and they play Baylor at home. You know, they're going to have to go to Texas Tech at the end of the year. They face Houston on Thanksgiving weekend. So there are going to be some challenges, but I think this is just exactly what Gus Malzahn wanted. You know, he really wanted an opportunity to showcase this program and show where they're at and why they deserve to be in the Big 12.
Do you think that when he went there, he had a clue that they'd end up in such a gigantic conference for football and basketball that Malzahn, like, it seemed to me like when he got the job, it was like, all right, you know, he was at Auburn, whatever. And then you're like, that's, you know, these guys get these jobs like after the fact, like at Texas Tech or wherever, and they just don't matter. Do you think that now that they matter, like they've always been good, but I never felt like they mattered. And now they do, and they're in this big conference. Is he happy being there, and he thinks he's in a great situation now?
Oh, very much so. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. We sat down for a one-on-one, and I asked him that same question. You know, and he said, listen, when I took this job, I knew at some point this program was going to get to a Power 5 conference. He said, I didn't know it was going to be the Big 12. I thought it could have been one of those conferences. He said, but I knew looking around at the facilities, you know, the money, the enthusiasm, the fan base, you know, the school, in the number of students that go to the school, the program's history. He said everything just kind of fit right. And it's almost like he's gone through a coaching renaissance. You know, he really feels energized. He's done a great job of going out and hitting up their NIL collectives to try to get some money for the players. You look at what he's done, you know, with the boosters and donors. They love him around. The players enjoy being around him. Like I said, he's really kind of revived. And I asked him, you know, do you see yourself doing this for a while? And he said, yeah, you know, I want to win a national championship at UCF, is what he said. He said, I think we could do it. And he said, I think we have the pieces that are in place. And he feels like the Big 12 is going to help them reach that goal ultimately.
So you're going to LSU and Florida State. You saw Utah return serve against Florida. I thought they got shafted last year in Gainesville by the refs. I thought it was a horrible call at the end of the game. They got their revenge at Rice-Eccles last night. Do you think LSU will bite back at Florida State after losing to the Noles last year?
I think they're going to try very hard. I mean, listen, they you know, coming off that game, they felt like they had a chance to win it at the very end. If it wasn't for the blocked extra point at the gun, you know, they might have sent that game into overtime, and they had enough momentum. I think they could have knocked Florida State off, but instead Florida State, you know, holds serve, and they were able to go on and have a 10-win season. Both these two programs, it's kind of, when you look at them, they're so identical in a lot of ways. They're programs that really kind of were looking for a breakthrough year. They had it last year. You know, Florida State has a really talented quarterback in Jordan Travis, a guy that's getting a lot of Heisman buzz. You know, you look at LSU, they got Jane Daniels. He looked really good last year. He's going to get a little bit of Heisman buzz going in this year. I think this is a big game. I think this is going to be one of those great back-and-forth type of matchups. You know, I think, you know, the fact that Florida State is playing in Orlando, which is really down the road from their home, I think they're going to have a good crowd there as well. It's a sold-out game. I'm looking forward to this game. I think these two teams are going to be very evenly matched, and I think LSU really would like to get that, come back and get that win if they can. But you know, Florida State believes that they get this win, it kind of propels them to bigger and better things.
Who do you like in the game?
I have to say I like Florida State. I mean, I look at their experience. I look at what they bring back. You know, you look at Jared Verse, a guy who could be playing in the NFL right now, instead decided to come back. You know, Mike Norvell has done an amazing job bringing in transfers. You know, they've got Keon Coleman, a former Michigan State wide receiver, who they brought in as well to pair up with Johnny Wilson. They feel like they got some of the best receivers, you know, in the country. They got a good, talented running back in Trey Benson. I mentioned Jordan Travis. The defense is solid. This is a good unit. They're going to have success. It's going to be from this team. And I think that's why they feel like going into this game, they got a good opportunity to win.
So they ruined the ACC today.
Yeah. I was a little surprised by that. Nothing like getting a 7 a.m. call about the ACC adding Stanford, Cal, and SMU of all things. I don't think I ever had that on my college football bingo card, you know, and exactly. And it's, listen, I think when you look at this deal, this is going to happen no matter what. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips wanted this deal. He feels like this is going to add value to their conference. Whether or not it does, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, listen. And how you convinced SMU to give up media rights money for 10 years and basically allow their boosters and donors to pay for that? That's outrageous. I mean, that's bad financial planning.
That's homeless.
I mean, no one does that. So, yeah, I know. And if SMU goes south, I mean, that's a lot of money to pay for a bad program. So it's going to be interesting. Listen, Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, they didn't want this deal to happen. They're still unhappy. I don't know if that makes them any happier today. Now that's gone through, I think at some point they're going to try to find their way out the door if they can. There's nothing Jim Phillips that they can do to make enough money to keep those three programs happy.
To go where? There's nowhere to go anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, Florida State's been puffing their chest out and saying, we want, you know, we think we deserve more money. We're going to go somewhere. Well, good luck. I mean, how, like you mentioned, where's that going to go? The SEC's happy right now. They're not going to come out and say, sure, we'll take you. It's not like the Big Ten is knocking on your door as well. And again, you're locked into this grant of rights deal. I mean, unless you really want to get into a courtroom and spend the next 5 or 6 years fighting this out in a court, I mean, I just don't think that's going to happen. I think what's going to inevitably happen is these three schools are just going to really kind of shut up and put up with it and get what they get. And then eventually when that grant of rights deal comes through or something else happens, they may have an opportunity to leave. But that, at that point, who knows what happens? Are we going to super conferences? Maybe that happens, maybe that doesn't. So I just don't think there's any deal on the table right now for any of those schools at this point. I think there might be some interest from some school presidents, but in the end, that's not going to be enough to convince those conferences to go and get them.
Matt Marshall with us from the Orlando Sentinel. All right, so you're down there, and I want to know what the vibe is on the doubt about Cristobal and the Canes. Don't tell me there isn't doubt about this football program that was absolutely atrocious last year. I don't want to hear it. Any hype at all that they're good is laughable. If they don't come out tonight and beat this high school team, they're going to start getting heat. That guy, honestly, if they don't win big tonight, people are going to start calling for his head a year into the deal.
Yeah, I mean, very much. There were such high expectations going into last year, you know, and I think that was the problem. You know, Mario had, it was year one. I think Mario needed some time to go out and get his own players, recruit, you know, kind of develop what he was trying to do. And instead, there was so much buzz and everyone thought this was it. The U was back and they were going to, you know, be a top 10 team. There was no way that was going to happen. And then you saw what happened. They fell flat on their face. And then in the offseason, you know, Mario had to make some changes on his coaching staff. You know, Tyler Van Dyke, who was what ACC Rookie of the Year at one point, looked so atrocious last year. They bring him back again this year. They hope that he could step up. Their defense is going to be better. But you're right. If they don't look good tonight against Miami, I mean, then you got to wonder. There's no way they go into the rest of the season. I mean, some people I've heard say they can win 10 games. I'm not sure how that happens. I just have trouble believing in Miami until they go out and do something.
The 10 wins, they would double their win total from that crappy team that I saw with all those 4- and 5-star players. It makes me sick. You see my 5 championships over my head, right? I'm about ready to take that picture down. I'm a sick and tired Kane fan. I can't take it anymore. What do you think will happen with all the new quarterbacks, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State? What do you think we're going to see this weekend from these new guys?
I think you'll see some strong performances. Obviously, it's week one. They're not facing some of the toughest defenses. I've always thought, like, in those situations, you look at Georgia. I think Georgia's got – it's a perfect situation. Carson Beck comes in. You know, he follows Stetson Bennett, but he inherits a team that's got a great defense. This is an NFL-caliber defense. Really, all Carson Beck has to do is not turn the ball over. You know, they could still run the same sort of plan that they ran last year. I mean, their schedule is so weak. I mean, they're going to run through the year and be 12-0 going into the SEC championship game. So I think he's in a great situation. Alabama, again, they're going to have to figure out how they're going to do things. And I think Ohio State in a much better situation as well. They feel like they've got a good quarterback going out there. They've got talented running backs, talented receivers, and a good solid defense. They've just got to get past Michigan if they're going to make a big statement. But I think a lot of these quarterbacks will get a chance to get their feet wet this weekend and put up some big numbers.
You talked about UCF going to Boise next week, but Boise's playing in Seattle Saturday against Penix. They're going to have problems against him.
Oh, very much so. I think Michael Penix is a talented quarterback that doesn't get a lot of buzz if you think about it, especially on the East Coast. I mean, he's a guy that can put up some big numbers. You know, I think Washington's offense is going to be exciting this year. You know, it's amazing. You look at the Pac-12, you know, it's collapsed. You know, it's gone. It's on the scrap heap. But this could be the year where you see a lot of solid Pac-12 teams, the Washington, USC, Utah, you know, UCLA, depending on what happens. So, you know, Penix is one of those. Washington is one of those teams. They face a good Boise State team. But again, at Seattle, I think you're going to have to look at the fact that Washington's got a good chance to win that game.
Is Tennessee going to be as good as everybody thinks they are?
I think so. I mean, Joe Milton, really, you got to see how Joe Milton fits into what they want to do. I mean, Josh Heupel's done a good job with quarterbacks in the past, you know, and again, Hendon Hooker was a guy that, you know, transferred out of Virginia Tech and really, you know, excelled when he got to Tennessee, fit into the offense really well. I think Joe Milton's the same way. He's got, you know, had 1 year under his belt there. He's a little bit of a different quarterback. He's got a strong arm. I think they could put up points. For Tennessee, it's all about defense. They got to find a way to shut some teams down. Their offense is always going to be explosive.
Well, you know, last night we made fun of this kid from Wisconsin that plays for Florida. I thought he was terrible with the Badgers. I thought he was terrible last night, the quarterback.
Yeah, Graham Mertz didn't have a lot to work with when you think about it. I think Florida averaged 0.6 yards per carry, and they gave up 5 sacks. He was sacked 5 times. That was just an abysmal performance by the Gators and really puts a lot of heat on Billy Napier right now.
I don't understand why that Napier would go to that kid after watching him play in mud in Madtown the last 3 years. He was awful. I don't care what anybody says. No mercy. Enjoy the LSU-Florida State game. Always good to see you, Matt. Happy Labor Day.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for Today in Carver High History.
It certainly is. How about 1964 today? Giants reliever Masanori Murakami becomes the first Japanese-born player to appear in the Major League. 73, George Foreman retains his WBC and WBA heavyweight crowns in his first title defense when he knocks out Jose King Roman of Puerto Rico in round one in Tokyo. 75, Tom Seaver reaches 200 strikeouts for a then Major League record 8th straight year. 1977, Tracy Austin becomes the youngest female to play in the U.S. Open. 14 years old. 8 months and 20 days, 87, Michael Chang, youngest man to win a match at the U.S. Open. He was 15. What? 89, Chrissy Everett becomes the first player ever to win 100 matches at the U.S. Open. 94, Yvonne Lendl plays his final professional tennis match at 34, forced to retire with back pain. Your boy had a bad back, just like our next guy, Mario Lemieux, 99. Approved as the new owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins. 2004, sexual assault charges against Kobe Bryant are dropped by the Eagle County District Attorney after the victim decides not to participate. 2006, Roger Goodell takes over as the commissioner of the National Football League. 2007, Clay Buchholz becomes the first Red Sox rookie to throw a no-hitter. They beat the Orioles 10-0. It was only his second game ever. 2007, App State at the Big House beat Michigan in Ann Arbor 34-32, one of the biggest upsets in college history. 2013, Gareth Bale transfers from Tottenham to Real Madrid, 85 million euros. 2016, Colin Kaepernick kneels during the national anthem in protest of racial injustice and police brutality before a preseason game against the Chargers. 2019, Justin Verlander strikes out 14. He throws his third career no-hitter. The Astros beat the Blue Jays 2-0, and Cristiano Ronaldo in 21 breaks the world record for goals scored in international football. 111 for Portugal in the World Cup.
How about your boy Heat the other day at the Eruzioni golf outing having a beverage with Le Magnifique?
Whoa!
I got a picture to prove it.
How about that?
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.